Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. That's crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. Again, it's 847-312-4676. And please go to our website and you can get copies there of the Companion Bible Appendices, and some other valuable study tools. I love the Companion Bible. It's a great reference tool. I personally use a plain text King James Bible for my daily reading, and I use the Companion Bible for study and notes and so forth, but it's a really invaluable tool. If you don't have one, please get a copy of one. Somebody once said recently, he said if he had the access to the Companion Bible, he could have saved himself seminary education, all the money, and he's probably correct in that. But anyway, that's our announcement for today. Now today's topic is called Christ is Hidden. Christ is Hidden. Some of you have been listening to our programs as we have been pointing out the various places that God's redeemed will be dwelling in the coming ages, and heaven is not the only option. I was just reading in my daily Bible reading, and by the way, I hope every one of you make it a point to read through the scriptures at least once a year, even though we emphasize here Paul's message and the calling of Paul's later epistles. We want to make sure that you realize that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and every one of you out there should be able to handle the Word of God like a pro, every one of you. And if you take even 20 minutes a day, break it up into tens, however you do it, you can get through the scriptures in a year. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. That doesn't mean you're going to know everything, but it's a good habit to get in. Where was I? Oh, the different places of God's redeemed. I was reading in my Bible reading how Jacob charged Joseph to bury him in the plot that Abraham had purchased from the children of Heth back in Genesis 23. And I felt, and I asked myself this question, why was Jacob so interested in not being buried in Egypt? What was it about that burial plot? Well, what was so interesting about that burial plot is Jacob had a hope of resurrection. God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says, to thee and to thy seed I will give this land. And the promises to Abraham personally, to Isaac personally, and to Jacob personally. Go back and read it. To thee, Abraham, and to thy seed. Abraham is going to get it. And in Matthew chapter 8, when the Lord Jesus talks about the kingdom that will come on this earth, the millennial kingdom, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were going to be there. And so Jacob had a hope of resurrection unto this place. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about our sphere of blessing. We've quoted on this passage, Colossians 3, a number of times, where we read, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And that's my hope. I take that for my hope today. So let's talk a little bit about our sphere of blessing again. And as we read through the Old Testament, we do not find that any had a hope of going to heaven. Jacob surely didn't. He wanted to be resurrected on earth. That's all he knew. The theme of the prophets was resurrection to a kingdom here on the earth. The glories of the millennial Jerusalem with the coming Messiah to reign there fills page after page. As we go into the New Testament, we find the same theme throughout the Gospels and Acts, including the epistles written during Acts. At the end of the Revelation, the theme still is, surely I come quickly. That's what it says in Revelation 22. But when we come to the epistles written after the time of Acts is over, after this time is over, we find a different hope set forth. No longer do we read of the coming kingdom here on the earth, but the scene is shifted to heavenly places. Acts 28:28 is the dividing point. In the first epistle written after Acts, we find right at the first of it that now blessings are to be bestowed in the heavenly places in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Instead of Christ being resurrected to take the throne of his father David, we find him set above all principality and power in heavenly places. There, in that place, he has set over all things to the church. Not only was Christ raised up to a position far above all, but his own are also raised with him and made to sit with him in that sphere in the heavenlies. Now you read Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. It is in this place that the church is to be a display sample to all the principalities and powers so that they might learn the manifold wisdom of God. Israel had her warfare with the Canaanites in the land. For Israel in the future, the Lord will destroy her enemies in the earth. He will rule the nations with a rod of iron. But our warfare is in the heavenlies with spiritual wickedness. See Ephesians 6:12. Paul told the Philippians that their citizenship was in heaven, and that it would be from a place in heaven that they would look for the Savior to appear. They were not looking for his coming here on earth. This is certainly different from the expectation of the Corinthians and the Thessalonians, as you will read in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. They expected Christ to come back to the earth where they were to be waiting for him. And remember, we pointed out before, there are different places, but there's really only one hope. Christ is the one hope of all these callings. At present, Christ, today, as we sit right now today, you and I, those of you listening to this program, whether by radio or the internet, at present, Christ is hid in God in the heavenlies. He's hidden in God in the heavenlies. He is not yet manifested to the hosts of the heavens. Our life is hid with him in God also. When he shall appear in his glory, that is, be manifest to all the principalities and powers, we of this dispensation will appear with him in glory. See Colossians 3 again. Having such a heavenly calling, let us mortify our members here on the earth. It's only as we understand our calling can we possibly live a pleasing walk to God and no longer live the lust of the flesh. Those quickened will be judged at his appearing, or as the Greek word is, epiphania, 2 Timothy 4:1. Now this appearing is not the parousia, where he appears in the clouds when he returns to the earth, neither is it his apocalypse, or his revelation when he comes to the earth. The epiphania is his shining forth in heavenly places. If we are to gain a crown of righteousness that is a reward, we must love his appearing. It's one thing to hold the doctrine, it's another thing to love his appearing, and we're loving it. We want to love that appearing. Since he first will be made manifest in the heavenlies before he begins his journey earthward, it then surely follows that those who have an appearing in that place with him must have an earlier resurrection. Then, as he journeys earthward, there will be a meeting in the air with this special group of saints, such as the Corinthians and the Thessalonians. Later, he will come on down to the earth and will raise the dry bones of Israel and set up the millennial kingdom. So we see three phases: his manifestation in glory, his meeting saints in the air, and then the raising up the dry bones of Israel for the millennium. Here, then, are at least three resurrections for three distinct groups. After the millennium will be another resurrection. It will be of those who have life but no special calling or hope. Job and the dying malefactor will be among this group. It will consist mainly of the nations before Abraham and save Gentiles from Abraham till Acts 10. It will be also probably consist of all since Acts 28 who have life but never received the revelation of the mystery according to Paul. Now this is just my thoughts on this. You have to go back and search and see where these things are so. And finally, the final resurrection is in 1 Corinthians 15, when death will be abolished and God will be all in all. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we see that the work of Jesus Christ covers all humanity, but there are various callings that are during the ages. Will you be manifested with Christ in glory? If you want to be, you need to read Ephesians and believe that truth. Now, we pointed out that Christ is hidden. And again, in Colossians 3, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you'll appear with him in glory. But you'll notice in verse 3 of Colossians 3, it says, for you've died, or you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Rotherham translates it like this. He says, your life is hid together with the Christ in God. This is another phase of our identification with Christ. Now, if we can forget ourselves and our position here for a little while, we may be able to notice the position of Christ. He is hid in God. At the present time, Christ is not God manifest in the flesh. At the present time, he is not the express image of God. God is being made known today by the Holy Spirit through the written word. This is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:20-22, we read that Christ was raised from the dead, set at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, made far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. All things have been put under his feet, and he has been made head over all things to the church. But in Hebrews 2:8 we read, "But now we see not yet all things put under him." So this sovereignty is held in postponement at the present time. Satan is still loose. Evil is still with us. Men still rebel against God today. Someday Satan and all rebellion will be put under Christ's feet, in fact. Then he will no longer be hidden. He will be made manifest. Colossians 3:4 says, "Whenever Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then you also shall be manifested together with him in glory." This dispensation is marked by silence on the part of God. God is not manifesting himself to man today. In past dispensations, God did manifest himself to man. He talked with Adam in the garden. He appeared to Moses. He ate with Abraham under the oaks of Mamre. He was in the fiery furnace. He talked with the prophets, but now his manifestation is hidden. So what does that leave us with? It leaves us with the written word of God. God has revealed himself in his word, and we have a spirit to teach us. This is an important, an all-important distinction. And today we have all, on all hands, people not satisfied with the word itself, but they're looking for something else. It's the word of God itself that is the true vicar of Christ on earth, as it were. Let me read again Colossians 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And that's before he descends to the earth. Now, friends, think about this. Jacob spent all that time. He really wanted to be buried in that plot that Abraham purchased. Why? Because his resurrection was going to be in that land. For further information, read Genesis 13 and at the end of the chapter where God promises, "To thee and to thy seed have I given this land." And then in in Matthew chapter 8, where the Lord Jesus talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the resurrection in that land. But you and for me personally, I don't care where you bury me, because my hope and my home is not here on earth. It's in heaven. So it doesn't matter where I'm put in the ground if I were to die. It doesn't matter, because I will be manifested with Christ in glory. Will you be there too? Well, we thank you for joining us. This is Dan Sheridan, and this is Cross and Throne Ministries. And our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. Please go there, and you can listen to these programs for free. We're not here to fight or to argue, and we are here just simply to set forth the truth the best we can. And we hope that you will go there and get a copy of the Companion Bible, which we have at our website, and the Companion Bible Appendices. If you, again, our web address, crossandthrone.com. If you want to support this program, if you believe what we believe here, please consider helping us. Give us a call or go to our website to do that. Until next time, remember this: the closer you draw near to Christ, the less ceremonial and religious you will be.